Gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 15th on the West Coast, May the 16th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. So nice to have you with us this evening. If you have been trying to get to the archives, you need to know that there have been some upgrades going on at BBS Radio to improve the quality of the archives, as well as speeding up a lot of things on the site and streamlining some things, most of all improving the sound. I think you'll be happy with the results. And all this extra work has put the archives a bit behind schedule. Some people are concerned that I'm not on the air. If you're listening to this show live, yes, this is I. and the show is live. It's still on the air. It hasn't left. There are some people that just listen to the archives, and if they don't see the archives there, they think the show was canceled. If you know someone who's not listening to the show live, let them know they can listen live or deliver the message that I just did, if you would not mind doing so. Now, to facilitate calls, we have an upgraded phone system as well, and I'm going to give out one number. This will bring you into the show when we take calls. We're not going to be taking them right away, but I will announce a point where I think you might consider calling in if you have a question or want to make a comment. That number is toll-free worldwide, area code 888-815-9756. Again, 888-815-9756. Of course, you can always go to the bbsradio.com index page, which on some sites is called the home page, and scroll down a bit on your right, and you'll see the numbers for BBS Station 1. That's the station you're listening to if you're listening to this show. Now, last night I had gone into a couple of rants. My guest was Ken Adachi, and he was acknowledging my rants. I was pretty ticked off with what's been going on in the world's economy, and the fact, I guess, I was angry with the fact that the media is spinning this whole thing now that they're talking about it, but Congress is spinning it as well. And I've been talking about literally hundreds of trillions of dollars, in excess of $667 trillion, as far back as August and September of last year, if not before that. And this has been going on for at least 20 years, and not a lick of it has been reported in the media, and you're seeing the whole financial system collapse. And what set me off last night was hearing the congressional hearing about the Inspector General of the Federal Reserve not knowing where $1.1 trillion went. This is money missing from the Federal Reserve. Now, let's remind ourselves that this is a foreign entity. It is not American. It is not federal. just in name. And as many say, it's no different from Federal Express in that regard. Now, there's an update that I would like to include, and this has to do with the funding that is supposed to go out. This is called Empowerment of the Masses. These funds, should they be released, will empower people all throughout the world to do humanitarian projects, to do positive things for the world. And the criminals currently in power and who have been in power for the last 50, 60 years at least, really we could go all the way back to 1913, have just been garnering all the power that they can while they steal our money. It's nothing but criminality, but it's sold to us as something official that must go on. And it doesn't have to go on. Now, there's a lady who contributes to a site called 4winds10.com on occasion, and she's in the banking industry. Her name is Wendy, and she had a, kind of an uplifting message. So in light of all the rants I went through last night, I would like to turn the tables around a little bit from an emotional perspective and read Wendy's upbeat message. This is sort of a pep talk. We are watching history unfold. Most people currently are not aware of how complex the problems are in our financial world. We have been controlled financially in the U.S. since the inception of the Federal Reserve in 1913, when it was started. The Fed Reserve is no more federal than is FedEx. There certainly are no reserves. The gangster bankers have stolen the money over and over. They created ways to be able to steal it, right out from under the noses of the people. Recently, they gave bailout packages to themselves, so they had yet another avenue to steal more money. We need to pay attention to every move they make, as the only moves they make are moves in their favor. They never wanted these programs to fund. They never anticipated that they would ever fund. They have stopped, delayed, and stalled every step of the way. Every time we believe we are close and there is yet another delay. They don't want the funding to take place, for when the people are funded, the power will shift. Those with money have power. The program members, once funding takes place, will become those with the money and the power. Those that lose their power and their stolen money will be exposed. All of the dirty laundry since 1913 will be exposed. The people of the U.S. will know what has been done to them. I, for one, am appalled at what they have done to each and every one of us. I am a 57-year-old professional female in the financial world. I am not in the military. I am not part of the alphabet soup gang. I am a disgusted citizen of a wonderful country that I am watching being ripped apart by the gangsters. 39 years ago, I made a commitment to do something to help. I was arrested as I had handcuffed myself to the mayor's desk. I was 18 years old on a mission to protect a 200-year-old tree. Today, I still maintain my same mission statement. Although my participation is small compared to other people, I am doing something to help. Are you doing anything to help? Regarding Casper, we, Poof, Chris Story, and other journalists, Patrick and Ann Bellringer, who post the information on the Four Winds website, we all have to be thankful for what these brave souls have done for each and every one of us. These journalists are warriors, alongside the white knights and legal defense teams that have been fighting the bad guys for the past decade. All need to be given respect from each of us. Had it not been for these brave people that have put their very lives on the line to get this done, we would not be this far. These same brave people go to work on this project every day for hours, fighting for you, for me, and for the 300,000 people that are members of the programs. Had we not had these people to fight this fight and keep the focus on the programs, we never would have gotten anything, ever. The warriors that search and find information daily and expose the crap are to be thanked. These people are working endlessly. They never quit. They are working for you, for me, for all of us. These same people that work daily on this favorite aggravation are on your side. They work on this project every day without being paid. Most are working for free to get us, you and me, to a point where we will be funded. Without them, we would never have gotten this far. Without them, the gangsters would have buried these programs years ago. The programs would have been dead, buried, out of mind, gone. But those people fighting every day have kept the programs alive, kept the promise alive, and kept hope alive for each of us. We should be thankful. The info and intel they deliver may not be exactly what we want to hear. I would rather be told truth than be told sugary sweet info that everything is fine and it's just a small glitch and not to worry. Obviously, everything isn't fine. One only has to read the front page of the newspaper or listen to 10 minutes of the media-controlled news to know it's not fine. With 1,100 auto dealerships going down, foreclosures at an all-time high, credit card debt out of control, and usury interest rates at extreme levels, with people broke, unable to pay for medication, food, gas, housing, insurance, kids' educations, or to have money to just get by, obviously, everything isn't fine. I know it's hard to hear the daily story of it's coming, then no, it's not. I know that we all get really excited when we believe that it's being delivered or it's on the trucks or it's heading to the airports. Then we get angry when the plan changes and we are told, no, it's not coming. Don't blame the messengers. Place the blame where blame is due. Place the blame on those creating the delays. The gangsters. These gangsters reside in the World Court, the Congress, the banks, and on Pennsylvania Avenue. We all suffer the elation and then the letdowns. This is a roller coaster ride from hell for each of us. No one is on this roller coaster alone. We are all on it together. We are all suffering the same emotional ups and downs. That is the nature of this beast. Does no one any good to complain about it? Complaints accomplish nothing. If you are one of those people complaining, then do something to help. Get off your tail feathers and do something. If you don't know what to do, then do homework. Read, read, read. Get educated. Read the S documents on Four Winds. Those documents contain a mountain of information that will turn your stomach. When you get educated regarding the financial conditions of our country, who caused this distress, and what is being done against us, you will get angry. You will want to tell others. You will want to scream it from the rooftops. You will want everyone you know to also know that information. The more informed we become as a group of people, the more impact we will have on them. We have to stick together and stop fighting with each other. Stop throwing rocks at each other. Stop telling rumor without facts to back up the information. Everything isn't fine. This is an all-out war. It's dirty, nasty, and ugly. However, we do have warriors that are fighting the fight. Stop accusing those warriors that are trying to help of being on the wrong side. Casper, Bellringer, Poof, myself, and we, and the other people who wish to remain in the background, are on your side. Stop with this absolute stupidity. That is what they want us to do, fight among ourselves. They know that there is strength in numbers. If they can rip us all apart, there is no strength. We cannot let them win this battle. We cannot. I will be doing my small part to help. Are you going to sit there and complain more, or are you going to do something to help? And that's by Wendy, and I couldn't agree more with what she said. She speaks for many of us. And my listeners know that for the past 2 years I've been talking about this, and those that have heard me on other shows, especially on Patriot Radio, you have heard me talk about this an additional year. So it's about 3 years I've been talking about this topic. And here it's just coming out in the media now, actually about 3.5 years later. With that, I would like to change pace and welcome back our regular Friday night guest. We had a communications problem last week, and he missed his first show. So we're going to have to make up for it somewhere along the line. He is our resident science advisor. He's a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, my good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. My apologies to you and to the listeners about the foul-up in the communications last week, but sometimes when you're traveling, it's very difficult to do a show, as you know, and cell phones don't always work where you think they're going to work.
Yeah, yeah, I'm aware of that. No need to apologize. We're just glad to have you back. Hope everything is okay as well.
Everything is going along okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, you got to hear my opening statement, and amongst the bird flu, the swine flu, the human flu, the embezzlement of trillions of dollars, the mortgage crisis, food problems, medical problems with vaccines, the intentional spraying of our skies with chemtrails. It sounds like this is really an interesting planet. You know, can you imagine the people that are lining up to come here? They must be insane.
Well, they're probably politicians and bankers. In your list of the different types of flu that you mentioned, it's interesting because the one that explains the financial problem was not cited, and that's what we call the money flu.
Well, I thought that was a swine flu. I'm sorry.
Well, the thing of it is, the money has flown. There's no question about that.
The money flu, yeah. And there's not a vaccination for that, is there?
Not that I'm aware of. But anyway, it certainly has caused ripples around the planet. There's no two ways about that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a very interesting, actually there's quite a few things that I heard, even though I was traveling, which of course, all relate back to the same core of these different problems. One of them was so audacious and so incredible that I thought I'd mention it to you just in case you didn't hear about it. Are you aware that they passed a bill? It was either early this week or late last week, in which the federal government now claims to own all water rights, even personal wells, lakes, streams, oceans, rivers, heaven knows what else, all across the country. And despite the incredible implications of that bill and the fact that it was passed, there wasn't a whisper about it in the normal communications media, as you would expect.
Yes, I'm aware of the bill. I don't recall the number, but I know Senator Dianne Feinstein from California was the sponsor.
Oh, well, God bless her little heart. The thing about that is, you know, it's so amazing that these people would even dream it up. You know, I can't help but think when I hear stuff like this about the exact opposite attitude which was held by the Native American Indians, who couldn't even comprehend the idea of personal property, because they understood instinctively that the planet belongs to God, and that we are just put here to enjoy and to take care of small portions of it as our circumstances allow. And yet, here you have these people that have egos larger than the great outdoors, and they feel it's their right that they should own all of these water rights. it's just amazing that people can even think that way.
Well, we've done a series of shows this week regarding the issue of who owns the people. You know, this thing about ownership. We've done a number of shows on this, on birth certificates and the point at which they assume they have control over us. And you know, for them to have accomplished what they've accomplished, they can only do so by taking God out of the equation. Even as you mentioned, the indigenous people here in America, many who were murdered as those that ended up being the bankers took control of this whole continent. They even showed their spirituality at that point. I'm speaking of the indigenous people, who are referred to as American Indians, and the fact that they're still fighting for their rights today shows the original intention, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, and that's a subject that, quite honestly, if we get into that, I'm afraid I'm going to get really overly passionate, because it's something that brings out in me a real rage of injustice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of Native American friends, as you know, and our history is such that we should really be ashamed of what was done, not gloat over the accomplishment of total genocide of so many individual tribes to whom this land rightfully belonged. But, you know, the eminent domain concept was that we would just take it, and we deserve, and deservingly so. So that really gets me cranked when I hear about that.
Yeah. Well, we don't allow passion on this show, if you haven't noticed. Of course, I'm being a bit facetious.
No, I understand completely.
Well, I don't want to get up your ire, although it would be nice to hear someone else rant for a change. If you'd heard last night's show, I was just, I could not be appeased. And I feel rightfully so. You know, I went down a whole laundry list of issues that affect people today, and I'm not talking about the issues that the media spins. You know, we hear about this Holocaust. You know, this is part of you were mentioning the shenanigans going on in Washington. I can't remember the bill number. It might be 1825 or 1875 something. I think it's 1825. It's a hate bill, a hate speech bill, and they're inserting language into these bills that are going to give a sort of an immunity, if you want to call it that, or an amnesty for the practice of pedophilia. If you can imagine that they would even go so far as to talk about that. And, of course, this is something that we refer to all the time, that these people are pedophiles and blackmailable to the eyebrows. And they deny it. They cover it up as best they can. And then they come out and they put language like that into a bill. I mean, why would you condone pedophilia unless you were a pedophile? This is the type of insanity right now that has taken front row, a center seat with these people. It doesn't cease to amaze me. So anyway, Jim, if you want, this is not a rant either. If you want to rant about anything, by all means, feel free to do so. It might do you some good.
Well, I'll make a deal with you. If I feel the blood pressure rising to the point where an escape is mandatory, I'll take off.
Okay.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen because I can get pretty brutal.
Yeah. Well, there's just a couple of items here. There's reports that chemtrail spraying has let up slightly. I wonder if that's because there's no time or there's no money. Of course, they can make this money out of thin air, so it may be something else. It may have something to do with the fact that that those ultimately responsible are more concerned about getting their piece of the action. And, you know, these gangsters would put all of this money up front to their benefit before they would consider anything else. But on top of that, to obfuscate matters further, we have these pandemic scares. And it's being predicted now that in Central and South America, they're entering their flu season as summer approaches in North America. They're going to be going into winter, and then they're predicting that we're going to have a pandemic here in the States and probably in Canada during the fall. Now, how can people predict such things unless they're intentionally doing this? That's sort of a rhetorical question, but I'm interested in your comment on that.
Well, I think you already answered it. I mean, it's idiotic that that they can make a prediction like that, you know, without realizing that in doing so, they're definitely letting the cat out of the bag. How many people have already analyzed this latest strain and have mentioned the fact that it's totally unnatural? It has to have been genetically engineered and produced by man, and yet, you know, it's released and it's out there doing its thing, and people are succumbing to it. But even though that information has escaped, these lunatics are still going ahead and making these predictions. It's very obvious that in the predictions are a disclosure of their plans. At least that's the way I would read it.
Yeah. Now you can't even get an accurate weather report from the local weatherman, or weather woman, or weather person, whatever you want to call them, and yet they're making predictions about disease. Just think about that for a moment. You know, and this is on the heels of the missing vials of these pandemic viruses from Fort Detrick. Prior to Obama's visit to Mexico, and where there was an outbreak directly, even in amongst the people who were there protecting him. I mean, how does that strike you?
Fishy. Very, very fishy. But, you know, it also strikes me as being desperate in its nature. It also strikes me as being very poorly planned. I think anybody with a quarter of a brain would realize that there's such a thing as guilt by association. I mean, if you were really intending to release this virus, why would you do it in such a way that it chronologically follows your own activities? You know, you could make it for a month delay. You could make sure that it happens somewhere distant from you. You could do something that would blur the obvious connection. But these people aren't doing that. And so it makes me wonder if they're really incredibly stupid or if they're much more desperate than they let on, and, you know, that they're doing these things to try and accelerate some kind of an outcome to this madness before the whole thing crumbles and they get disclosed for what they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Because sooner or later, when that happens, then the game is really up. Even the American people that are asleep at the switch perpetually are going to wake up long enough to incite a major uprising. There's going to be a lot of hangings. You can bet on that. And they know this. They know this.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. Now, I got some interesting information regarding Obama's trip around the world, particularly to attend the G20 meetings. And this was about this money issue and the world financial collapse that's taking place because of all the theft that's going on. And let's say orchestrated theft. And of course, our government is at the heart of this. The Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury are at the heart of it. The Congress is at the heart of it. The administration and past administrations are at the heart of it. So Obama goes to London and he takes 500 people with him. Now, you haven't likely heard about this in the media at all. But I found it interesting that he took large quantities of AB type blood, or type AB, and I don't know the Rh factor, but I would guess it's negative, to tell you the truth. Why would I think it was negative? On the basis of a picture that appeared in U.S. Magazine, or a USA magazine, picture of the Obama's getting off of Air Force One, standing at the top of the stairway that they roll up to the plane. And this was a mainstream media picture, and it didn't appear to be doctored at all. And Ken Adachi has done a fabulous article cropping out entities that hitched a ride on the plane. It now this intel that came actually from someone in the financial community, this information came out. I'm not going to disclose a name. I don't have a name to disclose other than it came secondhand to me from the person who it was told to. And the reason was in case something happened. But obviously the pictures I'm referring to are about shape-shifting. And, it's the truth. So it's worthy of talking about it. And then we had this incident in Mexico just after that. So I'm sort of showing how there's a pattern here. All the while this was going on, Obama was told basically that if they didn't release these funds to people all over the world, that there was going to be a price to pay. So then we had this flu bug, as if to show the world, look what we can do. So don't get any ideas about stopping us. We're going to continue the corruption the way it is. Obama even issued a threat. This came through intel sources to anyone trying to retrieve the funds from their particular programs. And some of these are related to banks, and some of these are private foundation funds that they have stolen as well. It keeps coming back to the money. You see this? All of this chaos that's going on is all about money and power, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I was going to mention before something that a friend of mine sent me an article about, and which I thought was incredible, but not beyond belief, and that is that we're still tied back to the Queen of England in all of this. And she's recently made a remark that there's no way that she will allow this money to ever reach its proper destination, because it will result in freedom for people all over the world, but most particularly for us in the U.S., and there's no way that she will release the colonies.
Yes.
And that she actually was quoted to say, release my colonies.
Yes, yes. And she has an agent by the name of Higgins who is running interference for her. So, yes, that's true. In fact, I talked about that on the show last night.
Yeah, it's amazing, really. You know, I really wish that the good forces out there who are dedicated to making all of this come to light and change the planet to something that it was intended to be, I wish that they would focus on the actual sources of this evil. You know, there aren't that many of them. Maybe they're well protected. I mean, look at the insanity of Obama traveling around with a bodyguard, you know, of 500. It kind of reminds you of Caesar with his personal legion roaming around, you know, doing the things that they did back then. It's incredible. But what I was going to say is, if they concentrated on the heads of these, of this hydra, because it's not really a snake, it's a hydra, I think that more would get done than trying to start from the bottom up, because it's unbelievable how much corruption there is. It extends into everything. And I think that once you cut off a few heads, you'd get a lot further in the cleanup than you will working from the underlings up to the top.
Yes, but, I agree. I agree. You know, George H.W. Bush has been reported by numerous sources to be suffering from dementia, and yet this guy is still calling the shots. It speaks volumes of the state of mind of everybody else, even the other criminals.
Well, it's no different from Al Capone. I mean, the guy was still giving orders and running around doing all sorts of things when he was suffering from
syphilis.
Syphilis of the brain, for goodness sake. So power in that regard is a very, very strange subject. And as a person who is really, really interested in power, of
yes.
course, my interests are electrical and mechanical, but still, there's something akin between political power and the other type of power. I've really puzzled on that for the longest time. How the heck that works? I haven't come up with any real answers. Maybe you have to be a PhD in criminal psychology or something to really understand it. But it just seems so strange to me that you can have people giving their full allegiance to these perverts and not even being concerned about the outcome of all of this, or their own possible entanglement and their personal fate. It's very strange.
Well, you and I have done some shows on this. In fact, we did a series of power shows where we began talking about the electromagnetic and electromechanical aspects of power and power production and transmission and transmutation, if you want to call it that, and we got into the aspect of spirituality. And on the basis of what you just remarked, I'm inclined to say, you know, ultimately this is spiritual warfare that's going on, that the psychopathy cannot be explained any other way except to have come about because of total demonic possession. And whether of alien origin or not, a demon is a demon. I don't care what realm it comes out of. And these people seem to be magnets for demons. Demons camp out on their skin. And we see this in photographs, which I've already alluded to.
Right.
And it's not our imagination. they follow the spaceships that you and I have discussed on shows, and actually permeate the blackness of the sky. When you make it possible to see what's been photographed in a night shot with a black sky, whether you see stars or not, these entities appear. And they appear wherever there's negative energy, wherever there's life force being drained from the light or from what is positive, what is good. These people represent nothing but a dichotomy of that. Really, ultimately, this is spiritual in nature. There's a lot of science behind it, of course. I'm not at all saying that there isn't. But the aspect of metaphysics, the higher sciences, is really what's going on here. And these people practice the dichotomy of that. They live in the dark. They live in secret. And everything they do is intended to oppress whatever it comes into contact with.
Yeah, well, I have to agree with you. But evil to that degree is still mysterious to me. I'm not saying it isn't there. I know full well it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the mere fact that it can not only manifest, but it propagates and it attracts its own kind, which is really, really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I realize the law of like, you know, works on both sides of the fence. You know, goodness attracts other goodness also. But it's amazing because it's almost like evil is more vectorial in its performance. It's more directable in a way. It's almost like it has a goal or an intent that is very much overpowering when it's properly directed.
Mm-hmm.
And on the good side, it's more spread out as an overall phenomenon. It's much harder, it seems, to direct it toward one particular goal or one particular focus.
Mm-hmm.
But when it does happen, of course, it usually overcomes the evil. But mustering the troops is difficult.
Well, it's a vibration that has been put out to control us. And they don't control the spiritual aspect other than by disconnecting it from our true self. The mind control, the brainwashing, the propaganda, the lies, the fictitious history, and what they call education is nothing but being prepared to be receptive for all these different modalities of mind control. You know, with the corruption masquerading as what is good and for the benefit of all, when in reality it's for the benefit of the few. I think the negativity of these people, their worship of the antithesis of God, the angel of light, the former chief musician in heaven, who was basically cast out of heaven for attempting to be God, has spent the past, I don't know, would you say half a million years at least, trying to be God? And so this is the place where that's acted out. All we have to do is wake up to the fact that that's what's going on. And we can escape it. We can step outside of it and choose something else and create something else. So it's definitely rooted in this reality, in this three-dimensional world. But if I'm to understand and know that things are changing vibrationally, they won't be around that much longer. And I think what we're witnessing is just their desperation. their attempt to cling onto power.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that they will play that game till the very end. And if they could, they would destroy everything in the process of clinging to their position simply to prevent something better from or something different from occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's indicative of true sickness.
Yeah.
You know, there's no two ways about that.
Well, and their sickness is also reinforced by their lack of spirituality. They like to consider themselves spiritual and practicing black magic and sacrificial murder of children and women and whomever they want to take out for what evil they can conjure up and imagine. It's so alien from the rest of us, and yet people tolerate it. You know, they've become desensitized and totally hoodwinked into really knowing who they are. You know, they become zombies, in a sense, spiritual zombies.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, tell me what's on your mind, something that you would like to discuss here in light of all these things.
Well, I have been pondering for quite some time, you know, the possibility of, well, let me backtrack a second. It's very evident to me that people in general are looking for something that they can construe as a solution. Everybody knows things are wrong. Nobody wants to admit how bad it really is. And they're still all entangled in this idea that nothing of the extreme that we're talking about can occur here because this is America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult to nudge them off top dead center. But they all know that something is wrong. And what they've been looking for, I think, is a solution in the form of either a leader or an event or the release of knowledge, you know, something that they feel they can identify with, which will knock them off top dead center. I don't think they want to be there. And I think that one of the reasons why Obama got elected was because of this thirst, this desire for a relief from these internal stresses and strains that everyone is aware of. And his political prowess and the way in which he was presented gave hope to this situation, and because they read into it the possibility of this, of obtaining this relief from these ills, they basically interpreted him as their savior. I mean, there's really a very peculiar, I don't know what you want to call it, a savior type of...
A messiah?
a messiah, oh, that's an even better word, a messiah feeling to this whole thing. But, you know, the irony of that is that if you extrapolate on that, and you want to use the life of Christ as an example, it seems to me that on Palm Sunday, they were adoring their Messiah and looking upon him as a savior in many aspects. In that era, it was political and social as well as religious. And yet, within a week, they had nailed him to a cross. And some of these characters in Washington should realize that that's the flip side of the coin. And, putting yourself in the position of being a messiah or some kind of a special savior for the sake of the people automatically demands that you better provide what you promise. And if you don't, crucifixion could be a very real outcome.
Yeah, well, not to demean what you said about the election, but I'm of the conviction that Obama was appointed. I saw a chart, and I've remarked during the show about this and on some other shows, that he showed winning possibly five to six states out of the whole country as far as the vote was concerned. The votes weren't even counted, and McCain withdrew. You had two guys that shouldn't even have been allowed to run for the job, being of foreign descent and not born on American soil. So the Constitution would have disqualified both of them had anyone been following it. And yet, they tell us this rumor that we elected him. I can tell you, I didn't. I didn't elect either one. Now, in regard to the chicanery that's been going on, we've been doing some stories about recourse this week on the show. We've been talking about legal remedies that are there in the Constitution and a very specific process of how to go about this. It's not something that you just claim. There are actual things, that papers that you file and statements that you make, which are going to catch them totally off guard. Even talking about it on the show does it no harm, because you go into the court and they don't want the masses to know how simple it is to extricate oneself from this control. And in fact, it's all illusory. It's all based on lies, the control that they have. Again, it's the opposite of good. And we've talked about this. Yes, people are going to go through all kinds of changes themselves. And ultimately, when you refer to they may be looking for a leader, well, they always ask for a leader because they're too lazy to do it on their own. They're shirking responsibility. They're so much in denial about what's going on. And should they be awake, as Wendy said in the piece that I read at the top of the show, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? And Jim, you're doing your part. I'm doing my part as best I can. And so are a lot of other people. But there are many, many more that aren't even paying attention to it. We can keep trying to get this message out to them, hoping that they'll wake up and they'll listen and they'll start to think from the heart. They'll start to discern what's going on rather than waiting for someone else to hold them by the hand constantly. Now, I'm sure you would agree many people are at that state of consciousness where holding their hand is a big effort on their part.
Well, I think you touched on the main reason why, even though we were given a republic after the revolution, the American Revolution, by the founding fathers, the warning that was released when that republic was founded was, if you can hold on to it. And it takes the kind of individual that is willing to accept responsibility for his own life and his own actions and yet act in unison with others of the same kind to support a republic. The minute that you become lazy and say, well, that's not my job, let the government handle that, now it decays into a democracy. And, of course, in theory, a democracy has some merit, but it only works if the people who represent you are true to their platform promises and are of more high moral fiber. And we know that that's not the case. So it eventually decays into something very, very ugly, which usually winds up as a tyranny of some sort, and a what do you call it when one guy rules? It becomes a tyrant.
Or a dictator.
So anyhow, you hit the nail on the head. That's the whole thing right there. You cannot shrug it off and say, "Well, I'll let the other guy handle it." Now, the other thing that's interesting to note is people are no different today than they were back in the Revolution of 1776. And it was approximately 3% of the people in the United States at that time who were active enough and had the proper mindset to allow the revolution to proceed and to succeed at that time. So it doesn't take 100%. It takes a smaller number of people that are really intent on making things change and bringing the nation back to where it belongs. You're always going to have the spineless bunch that just go along with the flow. I mean, there were people there that were willing to go either way at that time. If King George had won out, I'm sure they would remain loyal citizens. And if the new republic was properly founded, they would just shift over to the other side and follow the path of least resistance. So we have to accept the fact that the spineless wonders are out there, and they're going to be there. And there isn't anything we can do about that. It's a consequence of statistics. But we should be addressing those individuals who are the true patriots and who really want to salvage what God and our founding fathers have given us in the past. Because those individuals are the ones working together who can and will sway this situation to the side of good and light. It won't be the whole mass, but it'll be enough to form a critical mass.
Mm-hmm. Now, you and I have talked on some past shows here about how we are constantly pulled back into the past, which is ego identification. When one thinks about what was known or what happened or what was said, always in the past tense, we're focusing on something that we have no power over. We can't change what has happened. We can only change what we do now so that it doesn't happen again. And I started alluding to the fact that one of the things involving this hate speech bill is going to be people who say the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust during World War II didn't happen, are going to be considered terrorists. Now, how one makes this connection, someone talking about something that happened in the 1940s, whether it did or it didn't happen, is it makes a person in 2009 a terrorist. Where is that dysfunctional thought, that dysfunctional connection supposed to take one? Now, let's compare it for a moment and talk about the American Holocaust that's occurring. And I don't mean the chemtrails. I don't mean the drugs. I don't mean the rash of suicides that's taking place in regard to the corruption. I'm speaking about now the over 60 million abortions that occurred. Is that not a Holocaust? 60 million unborn fetuses that could have come here and supported. They could have done the jobs that the illegal aliens supposedly are the only ones who will perform them. these dichotomies. Why is it that the Jewish-controlled or the Zionist-controlled media has to bring up the issue of the Holocaust while we have one occurring right now and have had for a number of years right here in this country? Go ahead.
I think it's the same old story of defocusing, you know. If you've got a group of people that are claiming that there was no Holocaust, it's going to provoke a huge emotional response in people who have been affected by the Holocaust. I mean, I know Jewish people in New Jersey that were friends of mine from childhood that will literally tell you in confidence that they know for a fact that some of their relatives were in the death camps and they were processed. They were processed into lampshades and into soap and into a lot of other things that are not worth going into. And they know this happened. You know, there's proof of it. So naturally, when you deny something like that and make little of it, it brings out an emotional response from them towards whoever is propagating that type of a lie. And that causes them to defocus from the present problem. And, you know, all of these things are sideshows that make you turn your head away from the real issue.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that's how I perceive it, you know. And I'm sure that the spin doctors, and there must be thousands of them, stay up late at night dreaming up other ways of doing this. You know, the pandemic thing is another one. You're not going to tell me that that story propagated by all the media doesn't attract a lot of attention away from the real issue. I'm not saying that people aren't getting sick and that they aren't dying. I'm saying that was part of a plan, you know, to divert attention and energy and focus away from, you know, the real issue. It's the same old story. Don't look at what my left hand is doing.
Yeah.
You know, look at what my right hand is doing.
You know, there's been there's a phenomenon. I don't sit watching TV all day long. Occasionally, I'll turn on the news. And I'll catch a comment or just a regular news broadcast being made by a particular, it doesn't matter the name, a particular newscaster that seems to have come out of nowhere. Now, the media has pushed Obama for several years. They were creating this idol worship of an individual who does not appear to have an ounce of African blood in him, and I've had osteopaths and other medical experts tell me the same thing, that there's no way this guy is African. And I'm looking at newscasters. Now, and I'm not a racist, you know this, you know well enough, and my listening audience knows this. You look at an athlete on a show, a black athlete, and you get the impression that this person is black. They have dark skin. Now, the word black is a colloquial expression, which is not really describing exactly the skin tone of a person. But there are certain features that make one appear to be a Negro. And I'm noticing that the newscasters, the so-called black newscasters, are as light or lighter than Obama. They don't look like the athletes. They have very light skin. And this is to acclimate us or brainwash us into thinking that when we see them, we recognize them as black people. Therefore, when we see Obama, we see him as a black man. Now, I say that on the basis of things that I have discovered through my photographic research of the family and other anomalies that we've already mentioned somewhat. And it's, I don't know if you've noticed this. It's worth mentioning for a moment that the propaganda, and these people have nothing intelligent to say. You know, this is like watching a fashion show when they talk about Obama, or it's a popularity contest. It's entertainment. There's nothing of substance. There's so much mind control going on, so much brainwashing going on with these images of these people. And I'm in no way making a judgment on what their racial makeup might be. It's just so obvious that this is going on. Are you with us, Jim?
I was just contemplating the remark. I mean, I'm sure that, you've basically touched the tip of the iceberg. There's lots of things of that sort that are going on. The idea of these light-skinned individuals who are, want to be identified as black for the sake of giving the support roundaboutly to the idea that Obama is black is probably only one thing. But you know what's interesting? There was a, I think we mentioned this on one of the previous shows, there was a video floating around on YouTube that was actually presented by a truly black minister. And he was actually attacking Obama and the people who worship him and trying to demonstrate to them the fallacy of this insane emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that thing has survived. I watched it once or twice, and it was very illuminating. But it may have been taken off the air. Or off the internet. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that myself. Yeah, and I would agree with you. Well, we're out of time, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to. So we've been all over the place tonight. Say anything that you feel moved to say to encourage folks or to inspire folks to take some action.
Well, I mean, it's a difficult thing to do, okay, but and I think we've attempted to do this before, but people have to do something in order to become aware of their own power. You can start off with little things, like learning how to fight a traffic ticket, for instance, learning how to, impeach a representative who's not doing what he should be doing, just things of that sort. If you don't take the attitude that I need to do something to make a contribution and it's going to require effort, and instead of exerting that effort, if you just sit back on your haunches and wait to see how things turn out, then at least you'll be able to identify yourself as being in the category of those individuals who are similar to the ones who stood by during the American Revolution to see how it was going to turn out. But remember this, if you adapt that attitude, you have no right to complain about whatever it is that comes down on you eventually. You're going to have to accept it because you put yourself in that category. So for people who have more gumption and who really want to do something, there are hundreds and hundreds of things going on out there. I just found out when I get off the plane tonight coming back to Oklahoma that here in Oklahoma we passed the bill reaffirming the 10th Amendment. And Montana has done the same thing, and they're passing another bill to reaffirm the right to bear arms. And, you know, these are very important things. And I admire those states and those people who have the tenacity to stand up for what they really want, put their life on the line if necessary. But the point is, they got something done, and it makes a statement. Now, if all 50 states did that or something similar to that, that would just imagine the kind of message that that sends to Washington. And it doesn't hurt to stir up the ashes a little bit more and suggest that you might want to go back and read a little bit about how this government was supposed to function. Because it's so different from the way it was meant to be that it's an aberration. And we need to put the federal government back where it belongs, which is at the bottom of the list, not the top. It was originally construed only to govern interstate commerce and matters of war with other countries. Nothing more. But think about it, folks. They got their fingers in everything imaginable, even your water supply. If that's how you want it, then you just sit back and do nothing.
Well, great closing statement. I would also encourage folks, you know, on a local level, you can begin going to city council meetings if you're unhappy with what's going on in your own town. They are supposed to give you the opportunity to speak, although they have set it up that this can only occur at certain times. And it's usually when they have their, guess what, federal program committee meetings. It's amazing that the local municipalities are operating under federal guidelines, and it should be, as Jim just said, the other way around. Absolutely, the other way around. I might share a quick story here before we close out. I attended one of these meetings a few weeks ago and have been following the meetings through cable access. And there's a particular street. Now, keep in mind, the whole town, as many towns around the country, is in dire need of major street repair throughout the whole city. And the city council determined that they were going to take $950,000 and fix one street. But in the process of doing that, they were going to charge one-third of the cost of upgrading the street to the residents of that street. Now, the whole city uses the street, but they're going to charge these people thousands of dollars. And the people found out that they did this behind closed doors. They didn't really notify the public that this was going on. And when the people got assessed these, you know, we're talking anywhere from $18,000 to $20,000 that these people would have to fork out. A 90-year-old woman living on Social Security, and if she has a pension at all, has to come up with $20,000 to pay for a street that she's really not even going to use at 90 years old. Now, one of the councilmen recently, because of this uproar of people, and this is the type of thing Jim and I are talking about, you take action and speak out. These people have reason to be upset about this. They've lost their jobs. They're barely making ends meet. They're just living at subsistence level, making their house payments and paying off loans and debts that they have. And here they're being slapped with a debt that they have no desire to have. They can fix most of the streets in the whole city for that money. But for some reason, and one of the council persons lives on that street too, you should know. So there's obviously a political favor going on, and it so happens that they want to build a concrete street, and another councilman works for a concrete supply company. You can smell the rat before it even puts its whiskers through the cracks. And one of the councilmen now is upset that they spent all this money doing studies on doing this. Well, again, I point out that they did not consult the community, the citizens of the community, to ask them if they would choose to have that done. They went and spent $80,000 here and $20,000 and who knows, probably $250,000 was spent surreptitiously because they can generate kickbacks by doing that, you see? And now they spent all this money and no one wants this repair on the street, save four people living on the street, one who is a councilman, councilwoman, I should say. So these types of things are going on constantly in your community, not necessarily about fixing streets. It could have to do with who's going to collect the garbage or what they're putting in your drinking water or what they're trying to do to take your rights away, putting surveillance cameras up, anything. You have an obligation and a responsibility to speak up about these things in your own communities. And if you don't do that, then you're going to suffer the consequences right there where you live. Now, as Jim mentioned, people are standing up. Next Monday, we're going to interview Sam Sewell from American Grand Jury, and we're going to talk about the fact that people are getting together and holding citizens' grand juries for the corruption, to address the corruption going on. And I suppose we have to put the whole of Congress, the whole of the administration, and the whole of the Justice Department on the list, not to mention all of the privatized so-called government federal programs like Homeland Security and FEMA and all of these. This is just more of the same corruption. So hopefully tonight, folks, you've learned something. Hopefully you take something to heart and act upon it. You have the whole weekend to think about that. Jim, I want to thank you for being on the show and for all of your input.
Well, thank you, Don, for having me, and I look forward to many more such shows.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest, scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Mr. Jim Murray. He'll be back again next Friday. We hope you tune in for that show as well as shows throughout the week. In the meantime, special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.